Welcome to the Snap UK podcast. My name is Griff, and this is the place to come and quench your thirst for American football opinions, news, and reviews. The early season shuffling is still with us, but the top teams are already making themselves known, and the bottom feeders aren't very apparent. With me today, Jim, Gary, and John. No fourth and inches this week. We have a full slate of 16 games to attend to, so let's get this week's piece of football started. And Monday night football, a lesson in winning from the Chiefs. Chiefs 34, Ravens 20, and a couple of big stats to start you off about Lamar and the Ravens before we get into this. Lamar Jackson is now 0-5 when trailing by 10 points at any time, and the Ravens have lost 20 consecutive games when trailing at half time. So is this more on Harbaugh than it is Lamar, or is it a whole problem for the regime there? Because they can't get over the line in prime time.
So it was quite interesting, actually, because I was discussing with John whether I should play Cam Newton or Lamar in our dynasty league this week, just gone. And the reason why I was really worried about playing Lamar was because against the Chiefs' defense, I just wasn't sure he was going to perform. Now, I think that's because the offense of the Ravens is not as well balanced as the Chiefs, which is why the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC and why the Chiefs won the Super Bowl and why the Ravens didn't. And I think, you know, Mahomes can do some of what Lamar does in a different way, but he can run the ball. But he also probably has, you know, they've managed to find a talented running back in the draft, and they have star wide receivers, you know, which I don't think you can say the Ravens have yet. You know, they have Brown, who, you know, has got potential, but I don't think they have, you know, star wide receivers. Obviously, he's got good combinations with his tight ends as well, but, you know, there's not as much on that Ravens offensive, you know, kind of star line that you would say that the Ravens have got. So that's the difference in the two. So it all comes down to Lamar. You know, that's not enough, is it? When it's okay to lead games and it all be about Lamar, but not to chase games.
No, I agree. I think that's very succinct. The wide receiving core's been a bit of a nightmare there for a couple of years, isn't it, really? And I've made a note here that what has happened to Mark Ingram? They're barely using him. He's been superseded by Gus the Bus in short yardage situations and J.K. Dobbins in the passing role. So Mark Ingram, they're not getting anything out of him at all. And it feels like a waste.
Well, he is a bit older. And let's face it, he's the type of running back which he's a very kind of up and down running back through the tackles. He's going to take a lot of knocks. And they have got Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins there, who are probably not quite as good. I think J.K. Dobbins has got the potential to be as good. Then you don't want to be using him all the time. I don't think they ran the ball enough. Right? No. I don't think they had that many plays anyway, but they asked Lamar Jackson to throw 28 times, which I think is a lot for him. His stats on the day weren't very good. He had 15 completions for 28 attempts, 97 yards and a touchdown. He had an accuracy rate of 53%.
It was career worst, wasn't it? 97 yards.
And I think Gary's right. You can point to some of the quality of the receivers in Baltimore. You're right. They're absolutely not as good as what they are in Kansas. I'd also point to the scheming and the play calling in Kansas as well. I think Andy Reid is he's in his element at the moment with the cast of characters he's got on the roster. And I think you probably would have put Andy Reid in Baltimore calling the game, it might have been a bit different. You look at some of the play, even the very first offensive play that Kansas City had, it was Tariq Hill on, you know, taking the ball from the backfield and running 22 yards. You don't see that type of scheming from Greg Romaine, the Ravens offensive coordinator. You, on the other side, you've got lots of other players running it. It's, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had another great game. He had 5 catches. He had 20 running attempts. But as well as that, there's lots of other players who are able to run the ball and get into space. So I think, yeah, wide receivers are definite. There's a definite difference there. But I'd also look at the scheming as well. And genuinely, Patrick Mahomes is worth every penny of his contract. He was immense last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite something. The underhand toss.
Oh, brilliant.
Incredible. He wound up to throw it and then just flicked it underhand and watched the fullback run in. I thought that summed him up because there was so little there to actually look at, but at the same time, it was a brilliant play.
Yeah.
Sherman, isn't it? The fullback.
Yeah.
It required such precision and quickness of thinking because you've only got a tiny window in that position to get that in.
Exactly, but it's the play calling as well. You don't see that from many other coaches in the league. You might see it from Carl Shanahan or Sean McVay, but Andy Reid's been doing it for donkey's years, and he's now got the quarterback and the running back and the fullback, apparently, and all the receivers and tight ends to make these things happen and the quality. I want to touch on one thing, actually, is that when you kind of watch the highlights of Patrick Mahomes, the amount of times he throws on the run with power and with accuracy. And, you know, traditionally, quarterbacks are taught to kind of throw, you know, get a real steady base, make sure the feet are in the right position, and then throw the ball. You look at quarterbacks like Mahomes, like Kyler Murray, like Russell Wilson at the moment, they're running around, they're throwing on the run, they're incredibly accurate. And it's all come from kind of a baseball background. All three of those quarterbacks have got baseball in their background. It's really changing the kind of the quarterback dynamic and the types of quarterback we're seeing coming out of college. So really entertaining to watch. And I think we're going to see more of it. And I think we'll see more quarterbacks coming through with that type of skill set.
And I think I know you were going to ask the question, Griff, is this going to be Peyton Brady for a long period of time? I don't think so necessarily. I think Lamar, if he gets one bad injury, you know, similar to Cam, you know, I think he'll be 80% of the player he is, and I think he'll still be a good player. But I'm not sure that Lamar can be Lamar for 10 years.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree with you. It's just the closest comparison. Ultimately, quite often Manning fell a little bit short, and you felt it was the coaching and the team around him was never quite as good as what New England would give him. And I feel a bit the same way with Lamar. You got to think Lamar on this Chiefs team would probably be absolutely phenomenal, but in a slightly different way, like you said earlier. He's almost as good, but he's not Pat Mahomes. Nobody is at the moment. Stands alone.
If you're going to go Brady Peyton comparisons, it should be Mahomes and Watson. But Watson is being completely let down.
Well, should it be? Or, you know, I'm sure we'll come on to it later in the pod, but there's a quarterback we just keep not talking about, you know, and that's Russell Wilson. He's not even that old.
They're not in the same division.
Don't worry. We're definitely going to get him. I mean, he is that little bit older. It's looking for the comparison over the length of time. But, yeah, I agree with you. You're only going to take one injury and you go from Cam MVP to Cam having to find a new team because no one wants to take him off. A bit like Michael Vick, never quite really became the player he should be because you can't perform in that manner forever. But it's one bad game for Lamar. He's also only the second player ever to have three of his first four losses against the same team.
Yeah.
Because Otto Graham is the other one who's in the Hall of Fame.
He's 21-1 against everyone else, but 0-3 against the Chiefs. You know, this is his kryptonite.
Absolutely crazy, isn't it? But you know, it's like you say, Andy Reid is getting a phenomenal amount out of this Chiefs team. It's fantastic. Don't forget, he hasn't done just with Patrick Mahomes either, because they also started 3-0 with Alex Smith. This is their fourth season running, starting 3-0. So not bad at all. Okay, moving on from Monday Night Football, but staying in the AFC North, the Browns win again and move above 500 for the first time since 2011, which is crazy. They ran all over the Washington football team, 34-20, and really Dwayne Haskins' poor play was a large problem here and a large reason why the Browns found it quite easy to win. And the Browns don't very often find games easy to win, but Haskins was poor. And then the Steelers as well, they played the Texans, who you just mentioned, and they did the usual Steelers trick of playing down to the opposition and eventually won by a single touchdown, 28-21. So, firstly, how long is the Haskins leash with Ron Rivera? And secondly, why do the Steelers consistently play down? Why can they not steamroll a bad opponent?
It's like, why is the sky blue? It's just what the Steelers do. Last year, they didn't do it because they had no offensive players, so they didn't have a chance to. But it's just what the Steelers under Tomlin do. And it is so infuriating to watch. But
it's poor preparation.
It's just them. I don't know if it's poor preparation.
I think
they're good. But it's just what they do.
I think it's coaching. And I think it's around how aggressive Tomlin is as a coach. And I think he is reasonably risk averse until he needs to take risks. So I think he tries to keep Ben on a leash for as long as he can, you know, because he does turn the ball over a lot, Ben Roethlisberger, through his career. I don't think you can go 100 miles an hour with Big Ben all the time. But you know, probably 7 out of 10 times, if you're within a score, if you then start to, you know, loosen up to the playbook a little bit, then you've got, you know, plenty to go at, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. They've always got something in the bank. It feels like John said, same old, every year we're going to just play down to the opponent. And this particular opponent is bad, so it showed up. That said, if you look at the three fixtures with which the Texans have started the season, there are not many teams who would be anything other than 0-3.
See, I'm a bit surprised we're saying they've played down.
I think they've
played okay. Like, they beat the Texans.
I think the Texans have been poor, but I don't think many teams would have got more than one win.
They've played the Steelers, the Chiefs, and who else was it?
The Ravens.
But they've allowed every single one of those teams to have 160 or more rushing yards. Last team to do that in three consecutive games, the 2009 Texans. Like, they're not shutting anybody down anywhere. They're not making teams just run or just pass. They're doing nothing.
No, because they've got no players, basically. I mean, on the defense, JJ Watt obviously stands out as a star player. Outside of that, there's no one else there who's going to make a big kind of contribution. Mm. It's not like you look at the other side of the ball in terms of kind of Steelers, TJ Watt, Devin Bush, Minka Fitzpatrick, Bud Dupree, these are Joe Hayden. These are all players that, you know, maybe not all pro or kind of pro, all kind of first team all pro, but they're likely to be getting Pro Bowl votes. You can't say that about the Texans at the moment. Yes, they got Whitney Mercilus, but he's a lot older. Outside of JJ Watt and Whitney Mercilus, there's not one player on there who I think will get many, if any, Pro Bowl votes outside of anyone voting in Texas.
And I think the other thing, sorry, jump in, Jim, is that there is roughly, where teams in games are scoring roughly 50 points at the moment.
Yeah.
So defenses across the league are struggling unless you're playing the worst teams that we've seen in, you know, well, apart from the Browns, but unless you're playing in New York, when you can plan to like defend a team to under 10 points, like every team is scoring in the 20s.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're playing one of the New York teams, which are just embarrassing.
Yeah. And it's a badly run team. Like, they've got a massive issue in terms of that they have no young talent, like on either side of the ball. I thought their wide receiver was actually pretty good this week. I thought Deshaun Watson was pretty good this week. So I know where you're coming from, the Steelers, and I know, yes, they lost to a team that was 0-2 going into this match, but I don't think this is a case of them playing down. I think this is a case of them having actually a good win. I think you would have said before the season that they're 3-0, including playing the Texans. I think they would have taken that no matter what the result.
Did you see the first play of the game?
Sorry?
Did you see the first play of the Steelers-Houston game where TJ Watt just obliterated Deshaun Watson because nobody bothered picking him up? It's just exposed Houston's weaknesses, which is always they can't protect their one decent...
Another five sacks for Deshaun Watson pick of the weekend. And yes, he's playing probably against the best defense in the league at the moment, but even so, they're getting to the quarterback too easy. They had 12 quarterback hits. 12.
So while you're on that particular branch of thought, How many consecutive games have the Steelers racked up a sack?
Oh, 28.
Bit more.
42.
60 consecutive games with a sack.
Nice. Yes.
That is dominant. I thought worth mentioning, though, for the Texans is a bright spot. David Johnson is actually playing really well. He's the first player with 35 rushing touchdowns and 15 receiving touchdowns in their first 6 seasons since Thurman Thomas. That's quite some company he's keeping.
He had 1.8 yards per carry on Sunday.
Against the Steelers, granted. But I'm just saying, I'm looking for a bright spot in this Texans team, and he's about it, him and Watson. They've got no deep threat down the field. They've got no offensive line, despite the Tunsil trade from last year. And their defence, which was always quite good.
Tunsil is their offensive line, and that's the problem.
Yeah, he's basically a personal protector just for Watson. Okay, so back to my previous question, though, about Haskins, because the football team look competitive for a few minutes in each game, and then they try and allow him to play, and he can't. He is not progressing.
No, he was bad. He wasn't great.
And he hadn't thrown interceptions uphill this game because they've not let him unleash. But they fell behind and they needed to play, and he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback.
Well, the game was close until the fourth quarter, wasn't it?
It was closer than it should have been, yes, it was.
It was within the score. And then it just went away.
Yeah. But it's not like... Okay, so the strength of the football team is supposed to be this defensive line, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they just let Nick Chubb run through them like a hot knife through butter. And they can't compete because their offense, they've got McLaurin, who half the teams in the league would love to have as a deep threat, but they've got a quarterback who can't find him. Most of these young quarterbacks, like Josh Allen, come in and throw the ball three quarters of the length of the field. He can't even do that.
No, well, I do think the Browns have one of the best 1-2 running back combos in the league.
They've got the best 1-2 punch,
because, like, Kareem Hunt is playing superb football again.
That's incredible.
You know, and
let's not forget, he ended up there through poor life choices, not through being a bad player.
No, he was a great player.
So, you know, we mocked a little bit them picking him up. We questioned it, at least, them picking him up. But you can see why someone's taking the risk. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think Ron Rivera's got a quarterback in the building who he knows, and he brought over from Carolina in Kyle Allen. I can't see Dwayne Haskins lasting much longer. I'm a little bit surprised he has seemingly lasted longer than Mitch Trubisky, who we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I suppose he's had less game time than Trubisky, and I think they'll want to stay with him for the first half of the season, but maybe once they're out, they're going to try and see if they've got somebody else in there that can take over, and they can then get another draft.
That's it. Is the difference there that Mitch has a Super Bowl MVP as his backup, Dwayne Haskins has Kyle Allen?
Well, let's not forget, they keep telling us Alex Smith is going to be able to play. So
I don't want to see it. No, I don't want it. I don't want to see. His leg is nothing to it. It's horrible. I don't want to see it. Maybe come on, take the last snap of the season. Hopefully there'll be some fans there. That would be great. It'd be a nice little story. Otherwise, I don't want him on a pitch. Oh, it's just too risky. They're not even playing for anything. I know they're currently leading the NFC East.
Yeah, I'll come to that later. Don't worry, Geoff. We're gonna get to that later.
But they are not making the playoffs, I will guarantee. So no, just don't bother with Alex Smith.
The way the NFC East is shaping up, I wouldn't rule them not making the playoffs.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah, getting
through. They're in the hunt, he might find himself in the team. I think
they're all in the hunt. You know, something with an eight and eight record is going to win a division, aren't they?
I think we could see
a losing record here,
which is a disgrace.
2012 Seahawks, 2006
Seahawks did it 7-9. Yeah.
I think you could see another one this season, and it is a disgrace. But yeah, I don't know if Haskins has got long left as leader of this team, because they just can't generate anything at all. Quickly before we move on, Odell Beckham, are they actually getting enough out of him, or should they be looking to pick up some draft capital for him?
No, right. Getting plenty of shirt sales. I think it's about. I think it's partly about that. Yeah, it's always about that. Still a business, you know. And in these times with no fans, it's a big part of the business. So I would say, he's definitely worth it. And you know, it's not like there's anybody else that's a star. You know, Landry hasn't gone off this season, has he? So, you know, it's not like it's somebody other than Beckham. It's just the Browns, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very true. Who's going to give you draft capital for Odell Beckham right now? You're going to have to take on, 20-something million a year for him. No, thank you.
I think, I don't know, I think if you can get him on the cheap, like a fourth-round pick, which honestly, I think third-round might be the very most you get for him based on the contract and based on his performance over the last couple of years. And you've got the cap space, and it's worth a ton. Like, if he was in Indianapolis, we're playing with a quarterback who is more accurate. Yes, we have he has clutch issues, but he's playing with a quarterback who is more accurate. They've got an offensive line, and they've got a defense, and they've got cap space.
We are screaming out for Odell Beckham as a New England fan. That is exactly what we're missing.
Yeah,
but we haven't got the cap space. We can't even get close to touching what would be required. But that
he would not last in a Belichick scheme.
That's what they said about Cam.
I don't know. Yeah, John, I don't know. I think he's matured a bit to this extent where you take this season that hasn't really been that much press about him. Yes, there's been a story which we got to mention.
The last thing we heard was him sort of questioning having a trade.
Yeah.
But I don't want to end up covered in shit. That is what I'm saying. So
all I would say is after spending a couple of years in Cleveland, he might fancy a trip out to Boston.
Yeah.
It is quite beautiful. A beautiful place to live. Bill Belichick likes to, obviously dress, so he fits in with, some hobos. But, if you got the chance to go and spend some time out there, it is cold, but it is a nice place to live.
Well, Cleveland's not really tropical, is it?
Before I continue to salivate over the idea of that trade, let's move on. Alongside the Chiefs 0-3 in the AFC, the Bills, which probably no one really thought, there was a chance, but you'd have thought maybe 2-1. But the Bills overcame the Rams in late drama in a game that really they should have had on ice by the end of the third quarter. They then needed what can only be described as an interesting or soft pass interference call to win this game. And so I feel for the Rams a little. I think they were hard done by, but the Bills should have had this easily, and their defense is not keeping up with offense.
Everyone looks at the last penalty, and it's like that's the thing that caused the difference. There are other penalties that weren't called, and I think the Bills lost out an interception which they should have had. So, yeah, it swings and roundabouts. We only remember the last one because it was the last one. There were other opportunities in the game, so let's not kid ourselves. I think the Bills played really well. I think they've completely changed their team from what was a very defense-minded team, now a very kind of offense-minded team. Josh Allen's playing out of his skin at the moment. He's still dangerous in terms of, he's going to score points against you, but he's also going to turn over the ball, which I think they'll want to coach out of him. But for entertainment value, he's brilliant. And he's not bad on fantasy at the moment as well.
Last Bills player with 28 or more fantasy points in three consecutive games.
Jim Kelly?
Try again.
McCoy.
Yeah, let's shady, surely.
OJ Simpson, 1975.
The juice.
The juice was the last one. That is incredible. I'm absolutely blown away by that. The Bills were brilliant, but it was quite a comeback. Cooper Kupp finally turned up for the Rams. The first time he had 100 yards in the last 11 games.
And about time to trade him in fantasy.
Yeah, that's a really
good. I stand by that. I've got Kenny Golladay coming back, you see. So I needed another running back. I'll take that. James Conner for Cooper Kupp. That's a fair deal. We've done all right there. Jim and I are both happy.
We both filled needs.
I'm sad to see him go, but an Aaron Donald is...
That was the difference.
Stop me, of course. absolutely dominated that game. He has 36 sacks since 2018 started. That's incredible. It's just, the guy is a monster.
The difference between the first half and the second half was in the second half, Donald was on Allen just so quickly, and Allen, that's why the Rams could catch up, because the Bills could no longer move the ball. It was brilliant to watch.
There was one bad face mask call though, wasn't there?
Was it about what, the one on Allen?
Yeah,
mask call. He had his fingers in the guy's helmet.
Well, yeah, but like, and he did. It was quite. I thought that was definitely a face mask. He launched him to the floor.
They gave it as a face mask.
Yeah, there was
another one on Allen by Aaron Donald as well, which wasn't cool.
There was one that was not called. Yeah. He still ended up face down. Clearly
talking about the actual Josh Allen one, where he basically held the guy off.
That was definitely a face mask.
No. There was one where Donald literally destroyed Allen.
Yeah. So this is what I mean. Like, penalties, you win some, you lose some. It's only because the ones at the end of the game matter. Well, they don't matter more, but they appear
easy to remember.
Yeah.
But let's not kid. The Rams were due a duff call after New Orleans, weren't they?
If this is how the Rams can play, if they can get this production out of Goff and Aaron Donald, they'll still be okay, right? I mean, 2-1 is a good record to start the season, but they've not been impressive. Particularly,
I disagree with that. I think they have been impressive. I think on both sides of the ball, they've played really well. I think Jared Goff playing as well as he was playing in a Super Bowl run 2 years ago. They've got the running game working again. Darrell Henderson had 114 yards and 5.7 yards a carry. They've got receivers now and also a tight end who they've started to use. And like we said, the defense seems to have kind of woken up again. I think, you know, Jalen Ramsey got beaten by Stephon Diggs at one point, which was, you know, great play by Diggs. But otherwise, when you've got Jalen Ramsey and you've got Aaron Donald, when you've got those two players, I think in your defense, and you can build around them like they have, I think you're going to look good. I think this Rams team is going to be good. I can see them getting better throughout the season now.
Yeah, I mean, they should do. They've certainly got all the talent on both sides of the ball. Okay, so the Rams defeat, though, was good news for some other NFC West teams, especially the injury-hit Niners, who rumbled through the pathetic Giants 36-9. And also not a bad result for the Cardinals, because it means they don't drop off the pace despite losing 26-23. Against the Lions, which probably saved Matt Patricia's job. Let's talk about the disgraceful display by the Giants. It's just injuries, right? But for both teams, and it shows you what one team can do that the other team cannot. Shanahan getting the best out of 15 backups out of the 22 players that were starting.
John, have you got anything to get off your chest, John? Because you must, must have an. I want to hear what you've got to say about this.
Yeah, jump in there first before we go.
We're shit. Next.
Well, fair enough. You can't put that any better. It was pretty pathetic. And that's a problem, because you want to see a bit more out of a team, even when they're lacking their best players. But I do think, given a couple of weeks, I don't think the drop-off to Freeman will be as big as it currently is on that roster, and that will cost Daniel Jones again.
Do you know what? The New York teams are so disgraceful. I had a bet at the weekend, right? It was fiver, and it was every team in all the games to score one field goal and one touchdown. And it was 125-1. So I'd won like £600. Yeah, and you know, the only two teams that let me down were the Jets and the fucking Giants. Like, once we were 30 points ahead, I was willing you to score a touchdown, but you were that shit. You just, like, you were nowhere near anything. It's embarrassing.
Can you name the last quarterback who lost 12 of his first 15 starts?
Peyton Probably Manning. A Browns quarterback.
Peyton Manning, Jim. Well done. Peyton Manning was the last one to do it. So all is not lost on that front. Daniel Jones was comprehensively outplayed by Nick Mullins, who's a backup.
Yeah, good backup.
I've got a great stat on Nick Mullins.
Go on.
He has had over 220 passing yards in nine starts, his first nine starts, incidentally. The only other 49er quarterback to have a streak that long is Joe Montana.
Wow. So maybe don't give all the money to Jimmy G.
Well, I think it speaks a lot about the system that Shanahan has put in place as well. So you're right. We've been decimated by injuries all through this season and the preseason as well. But when it comes to the running game, it seems like things just work. You know, Jeff Wilson got a touchdown. Brandon Ayuk on his first game.
That was really good to see. He was back and playing, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Ayuk had a great game. He had five catches for 70 yards and three carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. I mean, touch wood, hopefully he's going to fit right in within the scheme and Debo Samuel will come back and hopefully in the next couple of weeks and George Kittle will be back. And once you have
Did Sanu catch one pass as well?
He did catch a pass, yeah.
Good money well spent.
One pass, 59 yards.
I thought the key stat might be the fact that the Niners didn't have to punt in this game.
This is true.
The first time since about 1993, they didn't punt in a game. I mean, John can look more stoic right now. He's just resigned to this slight battering he's going to get. Paul's not here to help him out.
We were watching it together, weren't we, Michael?
You took it on the chin while telling me to not worry about the fact I was about to lose in fantasy to you. How did that work out?
Do you know what? The night before, I looked at where everyone was at on Monday night and I was like, well, Griff needs 40 points from Mahomes. And then I looked across at John's quarterback who scored 36 and I was like, well, it's doable, but unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just this. When you lose with 150 points, you know, it's tough to take.
It's unlucky. Jerick McKinnon, you were talking about the backfield for the Niners. Jerick McKinnon, it's great. Touchdown in each of the first three games of the season. Finally paying off the 2 years he spent earning money on IR.
Yeah.
And it's great to see for him because he's a really good player. But the more you play and play well like this, the more respect I have for Shanahan because there are not many coaches who would get two wins out of this team so far.
No. But then I think, you know, the year that Garoppolo was injured and we went 2-14, we lost 14 games, but there were so many close losses in that. And you knew that as soon as he had maybe kind of one or two extra players or a slight kind of increase in the strength of set, that they'll be able to get over this. Like, our next game is against the Eagles, and then I think we've got the Dolphins.
It could be 4-1 with basically a beating. I remember when you went 2-14, one of those games was against the Giants where Nick Mullins torched us. Absolutely. It was when we didn't have a safety at all. So quite similar to nowadays. seeing as our drafted safety, we've had to fire. I knew we were going to lose just because it's what we do. And I think you could have been down to your C team. We'd have lost to your practice squad. Schemes by Shanahan, we'd have lost to them too. But sad to see your backup tight end's gone down in as well.
Again.
At least Jordan Reed. Yeah, that's harsh. He's gone on to the IR, which I know is only technically 3 weeks at a time this year, but they've said 8 weeks, haven't they? So
yeah. I mean, the only positive is it's not a concussion. So
that's true. Yeah, looking for the positives there. The best thing to do. Right, quickly then, the Lions have kept Matt Patricia in a job for another week with a Matt Prater field goal. And look, Stafford's playing really well, but it's such a badly run team. I don't quite know what to make of this Cardinals performance. I don't think there's anything to worry about. It's just one of those games that you probably should have put away. Maybe a more experienced quarterback doesn't throw three interceptions and you win the game. But you know, I wouldn't be too positive if I was a Lions fan, and I wouldn't be too down if I was a Cardinals fan.
Why the hell is DeAndre Swift not getting any opportunities to run the ball? Like, I know you've got Peterson there, and he's like going for the Hall of Fame, but he's like 68 and he's running it 22 times. Kerryon Johnson's running it 3 times. And DeAndre Swift, who you drafted in the second round, didn't get a single opportunity to run the ball.
He's there to be a pass catcher, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's still a running back. Like, Jamal Agnew had an attempt.
Yeah, I can't answer it for you, but...
yeah.
Why not? It's like we said in week one, what was the plan? Because they only signed Peterson the week before week one, yeah. And all of a sudden he's getting the most carries. What was the plan? I didn't know.
Lose.
Like, I don't think the defense is very good. I'm surprised that Arizona lost this game. I think, yeah, you're right. I don't think the Detroit Lions should, you know, get too up and down about it. I'd be more pissed off if I was a Cardinals fan because they should have won this game. They've got so much more talent on that team compared to the Lions on both sides of the football.
But what are the Cardinals? 2-1 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't have expected to beat us, really. I wouldn't have said.
I don't know. I think the two games against them last year were close.
Yeah, divisional game, always close. I get that, but we're a better team. So I think if you'd have said to them after the first three games, if they were 2-1, they'd been happy because they're still in it, you know. NFC West is the tightest division out there.
The difference really was the quarterbacks because they threw for the same yardage and the same pair of touchdowns, the difference being Murray threw 3 interceptions on virtually the same number of pass attempts. He threw one more pass attempt and threw 3 interceptions. Stafford threw none. Stafford is managing the games well, and he can still unleash. The pass downfield to Marvin Hall, that went for the touchdown that was called back, was incredible. It was a brilliant pass. So they're getting good work out of Stafford, but the Patricia coached team just looks dreadful. You'd have no confidence in them winning at all. So that is why the Cardinals should be disappointed. But I see you let it slide and you coach it out of Murray. You don't want to see that out of him again. That's all. You know, I think, like you say, neither team should be changing from their original course. The Lions are still terrible. The Cardinals are still much better than they were. Right. We do have to get serious. We've discussed the awful Giants. But they do have the Saquon injury to sort of help them out a little bit. We now have to talk about the dogshit Jets, who don't have the Saquon injury. I know no one wants to talk about them, but the Jets lost 7-36 at the Colts. They look like a team without direction, conviction, and the desire to fight. And there is only one way forward now, right? I'm reckoning by Thursday, Adam Gase is gone. You burn it down, you start again. The feelers are out for a new coach. It's on Twitter and all the other accounts. Apparently, they've finally decided 16 weeks after everyone else realised that Adam Gase can't coach an offence. It's not even like it's just the defence playing badly. They scored 7 points. This Colts defence is good, but they scored 7 points.
Yeah, I don't know where to begin with the Jets anymore.
They're wasting Sam Darnold. We've covered this before. But here's the thing. Is Sam Darnold actually any good?
I think he is. There were moments in that game
who knows?
Really good. I just think he's playing behind a terrible offensive line. So look at the difference between Darnold and Josh Allen, right? When they both came out of the draft, both the same draft class. Josh Allen has had a coach and a GM that have built the team around it. They brought in wide receivers that work well with his skill set. They built the offensive line and they built a good defense. So it can be done. You look at that Jets team and the offensive line is just woeful. Yes, they've started to fix it, but they've started to fix it 2 years too late. They've got no running back. But, I mean, Frank Gore is a lead running back and I love Frank Gore, but like Adrian Peterson, he's like 72 years old.
Future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Their leading wide receiver was Braxton Berrios, who would struggle to get into the top three in most teams.
Well, we cut him at the Patriots 2 years ago, and we haven't got him.
And after that is Kalen Ballage and then Lawrence Kager. I've heard of Kalen Ballage. I've not heard of Lawrence Kager, but he got 2 catches for 35 yards. And then Chris Herndon, who, again, another journeyman. Like, this team, yeah. And then on defense, it's worse than the Texans. At least the Texans have got JJ Watt. It's just a terrible, terrible team from top to bottom. You know, Sam Darnold's been completely wasted. I'd love to see if the Jets have the number one pick, they should do the decent thing and trade Sam Darnold to New Orleans or Pittsburgh.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, if Cam moves on from New England, I'd be tempted to take.
Yeah.
Look, they saved Gates last season because I think they went 7-9 in the end. Actually, they did okay in the back half of the season, but it was mostly the defense. And here's the thing that illustrates that. In the last 19 games, so that's all of last season and the first three of this season, how many times have the Jets put up 20 or more points in 19 games?
Once.
Eight.
Twice.
Six. But still, that's the least number of 20-plus point games out of anybody with an offensive coach. It's not like you've got a defense. It's not Todd Bowles' Jets anymore, who, by the way, made this lot look terrible. So it's just, like, absolutely... absolutely blows my mind that you've got this guy we think is talented that could probably get onto 10 other teams. You're wasting him and you're not even doing anything with the defense anymore. It's just not good. I honestly think he's gone by the next time we see the Jets on the field. They cannot keep putting this out. Their saving grace has been that there's no fans in the stadium because it would be dreadful.
I think the only thing that keeps him in his job is that their current owner is the ambassador to the UK, so he's not actually there at the moment. His brother's running it. Because I think, you know, if Woody Johnson was there, I think he would just be sacked tomorrow. I think that's the only thing that's possibly keeping him in a job.
Do they not have a phone line between the two of them?
Well, I don't know, but I think that might be the one thing that's stopping this happening.
I think Adam Gase's contract says he can only be sacked in person on a Sunday morning by Woody Johnson or whatever his name is. If you performed this piss poorly in your job, you'd have been sacked weeks ago, right?
Well, so, every day.
But the thing is, as well, if Jim would have performed piss poorly in the previous job, he'd have never got this job in the first place as well.
It's
the third mistake, quite frankly, now. The first one was hiring him. The second one was not firing him at the end of the season. And the third one is you've got to week three now and you've not fired him still.
The fourth one will be week four. I think they'll keep him until the bye week. I think they'll make him then. So I don't know when the Jets bye is, but
Not soon enough.
Yeah.
Is Greg Williams still there?
Yeah, he's the defensive coordinator.
And I wouldn't be surprised. But in all fairness, the defence hasn't been good. I don't know really what Greg Williams is getting out of the team either. But you cannot stay with Gase. There is no way this team is behind him. The players, Darnold and that, are saying the right things in the press conferences, but you don't believe it when it's said, do you? You don't believe a word of, oh, well, the game plan was good, we just didn't execute. No. There was no game plan. Unless it was throw two pick sixes and don't score more than 7 points. There was no game plan. It's just absolutely kills me. But let's not take away from the Colts, who are 2-1. They recovered from the first week where nothing went right. And Phillip Rivers, you know, playing all right.
He hasn't
let the team down.
He's hit some landmarks, hasn't he, now? So he's now passed for 400 touchdowns and over 60,000 passing yards.
Well, eight most good. Wins as a starting quarterback as well now.
Puts him in some pretty decent company. So, you know, if he can avoid the whole clutch issues, then I think this team is going places. I still really like him.
The defence is amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, Buckner is amazing. You know, as we've seen our line decimated, and, you know, he was the piece I didn't want to go last year. I know we probably couldn't afford to pay him at the Niners with everything else, but, you know, he is amazing. He's an amazing player, and he's just brought them to another level. So if Rivers can just not mess it up, if they're in close games, they're going to lose them, aren't they? But, you know, if they're not, then, you know, if they can get ahead in games, I think they'll be fine. They're definitely going to the playoffs, the Colts, surely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would say so, yeah.
in that AFC South, and you think about it's only really the Titans who I think will compete with the Colts in that division.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the Colts, this has got to be the year if they're going to go for it, because you've only got to imagine Rivers is going to continue to get worse. So now is the year you have to go for it with this team.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what they do next year. If they can replace Rivers next year with another decent quarterback, maybe a clutch one,
maybe
they might be all right. But, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Colts. And
yeah. Always have been since the Giants got terrible, right?
Yeah, no, this year I think they're great. And if you can find their defense in fantasy, they are, I think they're 26 points this week. Just
that was nuts.
It was against the Jets, though. They're not going to do that every week.
They've been hitting high scores every week. So they are top fantasy defense.
In our two leagues, I picked up the Browns just because they're playing the football team. And then I had the Colts in the other one. Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I could just as easily have played the Niners.
At one point on Sunday, the Colts defense in fantasy, I think Scott Hans has said it. They were in the top three fantasy scoring players.
In the early games, yeah.
Yeah, in the early games. It was ridiculous.
Crazy. Yeah, it is. But, you know, I always will come back to you. They were playing the Jets. And until the coaching changes there, I don't think you can take anything from a team playing the Jets. They are, I think they're worse than the Giants, just because the Giants can say, we looked competitive with Saquon. We didn't win, but we looked competitive. The Jets haven't looked competitive at all.
I don't think sacking Gase fixes it. Burn the organization down. Start again.
You just want to get rid of the Jets.
Just get rid of them. But find someone else to take their place.
The thing is,
down and start again.
Even if you merge those two New York teams, they'd still be dog shit.
It would still be the worst team in the NFL right now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Really, it's very true. Yeah.
If you took the best of both, they'd still be the worst team.
But I'm willing to give Joe Judge the chance, because this is his first season. They've had no preseason. Like, I can see the excuses adding up and working for the Giants, but not the Jets. I cannot get past the fact that they are still terrible and they've done nothing about it. Okay, that's enough depressing talk about New York. Let's be re-infused with a mutual loving for the man at the head of the MVP race through 3 weeks, Russell Wilson. Seahawks overturned the Cowboys in a 31-38 shootout. Neither team can defend. Both have quarterbacks making them viable, but Wilson is head and shoulders above Dak and almost everybody else in the league right now. I mean, he's doing more with less than Patrick Mahomes is. So I think he's top of the list so far. What do we think? What do we make of this game? It's the first time ever that the score was 23-15 at half time. Did you know that? I don't know why, but it is. I didn't bother to look into why that would be. But Russell Wilson. So if they were handing out trophies today, it would be him, right?
That's right. He's thrown for 14 touchdown passes so far this season. If you multiply that up to average across 16 games in a full season, that's 74 touchdowns.
It's also most through the first 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's just incredible. It's, I mean, he's certainly taken the pressure off the defense, but that's the bit I actually want to get to in a minute when we finish the loving, is why all of a sudden is this Seahawks defense so bad? And also, why is the Cowboys defense not even putting an effort?
Two of the touchdowns to Tyler Lockett, he was completely open. And let's not forget, the Seahawks could have had an extra touchdown if DK Metcalf wasn't an idiot.
Oh, right. Let's cover this quickly. Should he be taken out of the game for doing that? Should the coaching staff just say, you're off?
Yeah. No, because he's a second-year player, isn't he? And, you know, we've all done, you know, stupid things. We've all played football with John when John's tried to do one too many tricks, didn't we, John?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes
I've never done anything. I've never done anything that stupid as forgetting there's other players on the pitch. God, it was just awful. I mean, hilarious. But
I've only seen something like that happen once in my sporting life, which was during my middle school rugby career when in our inter-school competition where one big guy was running about to score a try, doing exactly the same thing, and our little scrum half kind of dived up behind him and punched the ball out of his hand. Exactly the same thing. But we were 12. So
I think that's the thing that sums it up. It's such a rookie mistake. And okay, fine, it didn't cost them in the end, but man, that you've got to coach that out straight away.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see him celebrate until they've confirmed a touchdown ever again.
And I think, Russell Wilson went up to him afterwards, didn't he? And don't forget, Metcalf did score the winning touchdown.
Yeah.
So you take him out of the game and you damage, a youngish receiver. I'll get it. I get he's been an idiot. There's not even any fans to play up to.
That's the thing. What are you doing? Who are you showboating for?
So it is ridiculous, but you don't cut your nose off to spite your face, do you? He is still an asset. You don't want to ruin that asset by destroying it.
Especially against the Cowboys, who don't have a secondary, and in short pass plays. Don't bother picking anyone up anyway.
You know, there's a certain safety out there who's quite famous and was pretty good, and had kind of previously said that he wanted to play for the Cowboys. If I was the Cowboys, I'd be literally begging Earl Thomas to sign for us right now, because
he's signing for isn't he signing for the Texans?
Is he?
I thought I read that he was signing for the Texans. I was coming to it at the end of the show, but I believe that he's the Texans.
Eric Reid? Where's Eric Reid? Still waiting?
Yeah, Eric Reid is another good one who they could bring in.
Clay Matthews?
Well, sure, Clay Matthews is, but
he is also a free agent.
Jeff Heath's sitting on the bench at the Raiders. He has barely played since he left the Cowboys. He was a good player. Okay, so what about the Seahawks, though? How do they fix the fact that their defence, which was the bedrock of the team, is no longer a top 15 defence in the league?
It's not only a not top 15 defence, it's the worst defence in the league. They are giving up, on average, 430 passing yards per game. That's 80 more than the next team, and the next team is Atlanta.
Oh, I didn't realise it was that big a discrepancy. That's incredible.
I like John's attitude. Just go full Kevin Keegan. And I think maybe Pete Carroll's gone, I'm fed up of being boring. I'm going to retire or get COVID soon, so I'm just going to go all in.
Yeah.
Are they going to Tennessee?
I think I've shocked everyone with that.
No one saw that coming. We've done well not to make light of COVID, and there you are, straight with it. But since 2012, the Seahawks are 58-0 when leading by 4 or more points at halftime. 58-0.
Pretty impressive, isn't it? I tell you what else.
Do you think it helps that in that time Russell Wilson has the most fourth quarter touchdown passes as well?
He's a great player. Like, he always has been. And we said this either last week or a couple of weeks ago, he has dragged that team over the last few years into the playoffs every single year. He's not dragging it. He's literally driving it. If he goes down injured, the Seahawks are absolutely bad.
Hey, what are you saying about Geno Smith?
I'll tell you what, though, going back to their defence, I think it's pretty obvious what they need to do over the next 2 years, and that's just draft defensive players. They have paid a lot of money for their defensive players for quite some time. Tyler Lockett isn't that old. DK Metcalf is a young wide receiver. Russell Wilson is still in his early 30s, is he not?
Yeah.
So you don't need to go out and invest in some of these other key areas. They have strengthened the offensive line compared to how it was. So I think it's quite clear for the next 2 years, you use your first two picks on defensive players.
Yeah.
And they'll be cheap for the next 3 or 4 years as well. If they do that, this Seahawks team could be good for a while, which I won't like.
It wouldn't necessarily.
I wouldn't like it either.
Okay, another quarterback playing at lights out level is Aaron Rodgers at the Packers.
They hang on a second. Wait. One more thing on the Cowboys. Alden Smith, 3 sacks in this game.
Fair enough. That's a good interruption. Alden Smith has been brilliant since 5 years out of football. He's certainly the only highlight on that defense. It's incredible. Yeah. Imagine where they'd be without him.
And have we not seen that Jerry Jones basically said that Tony Romo might have made that pass that Dak missed at the end as well? Did no one else see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think they might be. No, they're trying to like keep pushing that Dak versus Jerry Jones angle and the contract angle. I'm not sure how much of it, you know, they've interpreted, but there's definitely a bit of a story out there saying that he basically said even Tony Romo would have made that. So
Tony Romo was a good player for them.
Great player.
He was a good player, but you know. He doesn't work anymore, so.
No. Back to my enthusing about Aaron Rodgers, though. The Saints dropped to 1-2. The Packers are unbeaten. But don't tell me that Drew Brees can't play, because he had a good game. Like, people are saying he can't throw the ball. He was averaging the same yards per attempt as Aaron Rodgers. But he's not the Drew Brees that he was. But he's still a top 10, top 12 quarterback in the league. He's still able to keep his team up with a team that's been running away with games the last 2 weeks. So
I think he's able to keep his team up with some help.
Yeah.
But, you know, that happens to all of us over time.
Yeah.
Viagra prescription.
Yeah. I wouldn't put this all on Drew Brees. He's not doing anything wrong, which I think is always a benefit. But Alvin Kamara, the last two games, been playing lights out. He's had 13 receptions against the Packers for 139 yards and 6 carries. Like, he is the player that I drafted second in the fantasy draft last year, and I'm good this year. So
I knew you were going to go there.
Mate, I hold grudges, and this one's never going to end.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara certainly has been the outstanding player. He's currently the number one ranked running back through 3 games. And he certainly makes this offense tick when there's no Michael Thomas. And let's not forget, there is no Michael Thomas, which has
I remember. I've got drafted in one of my teams.
Yeah, so where to start with the Packers, though? The defense is brilliant. The offense is doing incredible things, considering it's really only Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones, because Devontae Adams didn't play.
No,
he's injured. Yeah.
Alan Lazard's the leading receiver on the team, isn't he?
Jim, he's not in your fantasy team, is he?
Yeah, he's in the other one.
Alan Lazard, 6 receptions, 146 yards and a touchdown. Maybe drafting Jordan Love was the best thing this franchise could have done to reinvigorate Aaron Rodgers. What do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's, you know, got him off the bottle and, you know, focusing on the game. What are you looking at me like?
Are you suggesting he's pissed off rather than pissed up? Is that what you're...
Well, I mean, that's a good tagline. You know, like to be fair, he used to talk about having a whiskey in his press conferences. It's not like we just made it up. But, no, he looked hungry. Doesn't he? He looks really hungry to prove that he is Aaron Rodgers. He was doing, you know, no-look passes, and, you know, he has looked amazing again. And don't forget, last year, he was coming off quite a bad injury, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, absolutely.
So, you know, we're now seeing fully fit Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, lots of people were trying to say for quite a number of years that he is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you know. And actually, if you think about people talk about Russell Wilson getting out of the pocket and extending the play, the first person to really do this over an extended period of time for quite some time successfully was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has been doing stuff that we highlight when Patrick Mahomes does it. And he's been doing it regularly for years. You know, so it's not a surprise that Aaron Rodgers is good.
It's not his talent we ever question, it's his character, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the point. He seems different this year. He doesn't seem like he's complaining as much. So whether he's found his peace in where he is and he's just going to accept it and get on with it.
He praised the play calling. Very rarely hear that, but he praised the play calling.
Yeah.
I will say about Drew Brees, though, here's one for you. How many consecutive games has Drew Brees thrown three or more touchdown passes?
Lot.
Go on, 44. How many?
44.
A few more.
58.
94.
that's incredible.
That's quite impressive. That's like seven seasons. That's a lot of games. that's a lot of games.
How many touchdowns? Three.
Three or more.
In 90, wow. In a row?
Yeah.
Apparently no, running can't be right.
Peyton Manning had done it in 93.
Wow.
And I think the thing with Brees is he's not dropped off the Peyton cliff. That's what I was getting at. He's still a very good quarterback. He might not be Drew Brees, but he hasn't done a Peyton. He's maybe gone more Tom Brady. Is that fair?
This week they had a stat for perfect ball location.
I know where mine are.
And Drew Brees was second with 71% of his throws were perfectly accurate. Only one player was ahead of him.
Do you want to have a guess?
It was Baker Mayfield.
And I can confirm that Griff's stat is correct because I didn't believe it, so I've just looked it up.
I do check the stuff before I throw it.
I know, but that just seems ridiculous. Like,
it's ridiculous, but yeah. It's true. I did.
Hold up. It's not in a row, though.
Oh, I thought it was in a row.
He recorded a free touchdown game for the 94th time.
That's still impressive. 94 games with three or more.
It is, but otherwise it means the Saints scored at least 21 points in every single game for the last seven seasons.
That is true. I was trying to work it out myself, but I ran out of time. But still, thank you for verifying part of what I was saying. That's the main point. Which one of these teams goes furthest? Are we suggesting that Green Bay has more of a chance of being 16-0, or that the Saints have more of a chance of, say, 13-3?
Oh, I don't think 16-0 is going to happen this year to anybody. There's too much going on. But
I said the Chiefs last week, and so far I'm right on that.
I think the I didn't listen last week. I think.
Oh, you should. It was really good.
I think the Packers are. Yeah, I wonder why. I think the Packers are probably going to be 14-2, something like that. And the Saints, I think, no more than 12 in the regular season.
I think they'll struggle to make 12. If I'm honest, I think it's
10.
I'm afraid it's back to the shit show teams. So we'll pile in a few here. Starting with the Falcons, if you'd like to get your laughing out of the way now, that'd be great. So somehow they managed to blow another massive lead in the fourth quarter. The buck stopped with Dan Quinn, as far as I'm concerned. They were 16 points up with 10 minutes to go. They're the first team ever to lose in consecutive weeks, being 15 points or more up in the fourth quarter.
And they had a 98% win chance again.
Yeah, again for the second week running. The Bears win 30-26 and remain unbeaten despite having now replaced their quarterback with another quarterback. So, what do you make of this one? Is it the right move for the Bears?
Yes.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm not convinced by Foles.
Go on.
Well, I don't know. He looks a bit weird as well, but he just seems a bit all over the place to me as a quarterback. I don't think I know what he's. That probably is what helps him a little bit. I think he can throw a good ball. Don't get me wrong, but I think he works for a while and then teams work him out because, you know, he just does the same stuff all the time, doesn't it? And
he's limited. He's good, but limited.
Yeah, I mean, he's not brilliant. He's never going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's never going to win a Super Bowl. Oh.
And I saw a graphic where they showed the same play run by exactly the same play again to the same receiver, run by Foles and run by Trubisky. Yeah. And Trubisky, he had a great pocket and still missed the shot. And then Foles got hit and still made the pass and it went to a touchdown. Right? Yeah. So I've seen all that kind of stuff. But, you know, to me, I just think, you know, what was the harm in allowing it to run two more games?
Why?
Well, you lost that one.
Oh, would you? I don't know. The Falcons were falling apart.
Yeah, that he's come on the field and he's won that game. And now Matt Nagy's like, well, he's going to start. I think the offense looked a heck of a lot different when he came on. It looked more confident. You know, passes were zipping. And like you say, he's able to throw under pressure. And Trubisky's not able to throw when he's not under pressure. And as much as, you know, we laud kind of running quarterbacks like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, at the end of the day, one of the primary roles of a quarterback is to pass the ball. And if Trubisky can't do that, and Foles can, then it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see good Nick for 4 or 5 weeks, and you'll have a bad patch, but I think they'll stick with him now. I really do.
Yeah, I can't see the Bears making the playoffs. I don't think Foles is going to be brilliant.
Really?
I just don't
think they'll make the playoffs. They're 3-0. The Vikings are terrible.
Yeah, that's true. But the NFC...
I think they've got a great chance of making the playoffs on this basis. They're also getting performances out of Jimmy Graham that people haven't seen for years. It's crazy. 77th receiving touchdown, which is the second most in the NFL since 2010. You forget what a great player he was, and they're actually getting production out of him, which people haven't been able to do.
Yes,
I think the Bears might get in the playoffs because of the extra playoff spot.
Yeah.
Incidentally, it was only the second time. This season was the second time the Bears have overcome a 16-point deficit in the fourth quarter. And they've only done that once before in the last 100 years.
Gorm, was it the year they won the Super Bowl?
I haven't got the year, but I just thought...
Oh, letting me down. Well, they've not allowed a receiving touchdown to a wide receiver yet either, which is quite impressive through three games. The Falcons are one of only two teams to score 90 or more points in the first 3 weeks and be 3-0. Oh, and 3, sorry. And I couldn't find anywhere who the other team were. It just came up as a stat I saw. But so... Dan Quinn, surely he's in the Adam Gates seat now as well. Like, you can't just hang on. This is no longer a bad luck story. It's a there's something wrong here story. The house is not being looked after properly. Sure.
This is ridiculous. I mean, you said it yourself. They're on offense. Everything's working well. They're scoring points. They're making yards. They're not turning the ball over that often. Todd Gurley got 80 yards for crying out loud on the floor on Sunday. Calvin Ridley looks like a number one receiver. Julio Jones wasn't in the match, but they didn't need him. And once again, their defense just seemed to not turn up in the fourth quarter. Like, it was playing all right up until the fourth quarter, and suddenly, you know, Nick Foles comes on, and yeah, all right, the Bears get better. But again, you've got 16 points up in the fourth quarter. You have to be able to hold that. Otherwise,
the poor defensive display rubs off on the offense. They start to think, right, this is turning, and we're going to lose again. And then they couldn't produce in the fourth quarter either, because
they couldn't move the ball in the final quarter.
In the fourth quarter, they punt, interception.
There were 16 points. Yeah. I'm sorry, you can't.
They've done their job, haven't they?
They've done their job.
They haven't. Hold the ball. Keep holding the ball.
The offense. It's not the offense's fault, but it's having a massively detrimental effect because the confidence drains out of the whole team. Matty Ice, that's what they call him. He looked like a man who knew defeat was coming in that fourth quarter. And you can't have your quarterback think like that.
Of course he knew defeat was coming. He's suffered this countless times now in Atlanta under Dan Quinn. I don't think you can pin this on the offense at all. Okay, yes, they didn't score a point in the fourth quarter, but the defense let up 20 points in the fourth quarter.
I'm not pinning it on them. I'm simply saying when it starts having a detrimental effect on your offense because your defense is so bad, you've got to make the change. You can't keep clinging on and thinking it'll be okay. It won't be okay.
The offense needs to help the defense out by holding the ball for some time, keeping the defense off the pitch. getting some first downs, and they're not doing it. It's like they don't know how long a game of football is, and they just down tools 10 minutes early.
That's very well put. I just think the lack of confidence in this team is something you can only address by either you bring in somebody to help Dan Quinn or you bin off Dan Quinn.
You've got to bin off Dan Quinn. He started off last season with a similar record, and we were saying by the bye that he should have been sacked then, and they managed to turn it around and fair play. That's the warning shot. This year, you can't have that happen again. Two of the games they've lost have been at home as well. I know, all right, you haven't got the crowd there, so maybe home advantage isn't as big a thing. But you shouldn't be losing two games at home when you're playing the Bears at home.
No, definitely.
Like, this Bears team's not good. I'm sorry, it's not. You're probably right. They probably will make it to the playoffs because they've got an extra place there. But they won't go very far in the playoffs. I'd fancy most teams who get there to beat them.
You don't fire Dan Quinn this week because they've got the Packers.
No.
You wait till next week when they've got the Panthers.
Yeah.
How many quarterbacks get benched and kicked out of their team with a winning record, though? Trubisky's 23-18.
Really?
He's 23-18. I think, and I haven't checked this one, but I think the last quarterback benched with a winning record that didn't come back was Mark Sanchez when the Jets finally binned him off. He had a winning record there.
What
I'm saying is somebody's going to try and reclaim this project. He's going to end up at like the Jags or somewhere where they're going to try this. It's a Gruden project, isn't it? what a bin of quarterbacks that'll be right there.
That's exactly it, a Gruden project. Just one thing on the Bears, actually, it's just something I've kind of picked up on. Like, Khalil Mack isn't Khalil Mack anymore, is he?
No, he's not.
He's been, last season he wasn't that brilliant. This season he's been ominously quiet. He does still get
his name.
He had two quarterback hits and he got credited with half a sack on Sunday. So he's still obviously got it, but he's not that kind of MVP style defensive end anymore, is he?
No, he really isn't. I think that's a fair play. Like I say, you just don't hear his name. Right. From the Falcons, let's carry on with the shit show. Slide into the Bengals-Eagles 23-all tie, which is possibly the most depressing end to a game ever, where the Eagles could kick a field goal to win it, jumped offside, and ended up facing a 64-yard field goal try, which they bottled, punted the ball back, and it's just like, go for the win, man!
But wasn't it they ended up with a 64-yarder and then jumped offside again?
Yeah.
They ended up with having to have a 69-yarder. So then
they did a delay of game to give the punter more room.
Exactly. They did delay a game to give the punter more room. Try the 64-yarder. What's the worst going to happen? The other team get the ball back on the halfway line. That team's also been rubbish.
Well, Jake Elliott has kicked a 61-yarder in the past, didn't he?
He's kicked a 61-yarder, and I think he looked disappointed that he wasn't allowed to try. And it was basically Doug Peterson accepting this is going to be a tie. The Bengals have not exactly been moving the ball up and down the field. What were the Eagles doing? It's shocking.
Wentz, three games in a row, two interceptions.
He's thrown seven. He's the leading interception thrower through the first.
And he had five last year.
Seven all of last
year. Was it seven all of last year?
He's thrown seven already.
Well, he's had more games with multiple interceptions this year than he has in his previous 3 years combined.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right. He just looks like a rookie. But I don't know whether it's because he doesn't trust the weapons or he doesn't trust the play calling, but he looks like he's never stood on an NFL field before.
He only wants to pass the ball to Zach Ertz. And if Ertz is double covered, he doesn't know what to do. He's just like, where do I throw the ball? But Jeffrey's supposed to be back this week, isn't he? Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, and you'd think it'd take him a couple of weeks to get up to any sort of speed, but it's a boost for them. But you need good quarterbacks to elevate the team, and he is not elevating that team.
I think Joe Burrow's played well. I think, for a rookie, in that sort of situation, it's never going to be easy. But so far, he's only thrown one interception this year, five touchdowns. he again, like 31 from 44 attempts. Again, that's too many pass attempts for a rookie quarterback.
Because the O-line is not giving Mixon any room.
Yeah, that's the big problem. But also, like T. Higgins as well, their rookie wide receiver, they picked up in the second round.
Yeah, pretty good.
Five receptions, 40 yards, two touchdowns. He looked really good. And I think their receiving core actually all together very, very impressive with Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, and Auden Tate as well with T. Higgins.
But they, going back to you know, how the Bengals have done, they've been within a score, haven't they, every single game? So they're only 3 points behind, you know, against the Chargers, lost by 3 points, and against the Browns, and, you know, I know they're the Browns, but the Browns do have talent. Only 5 points behind. You know, they are scoring points and he's keeping them in games. It kind of reminds you of when the Niners first started going with Jimmy G, and, you know, and we were there. We were close. Every game was close, but we just weren't quite good enough. And
well, didn't Burrow sack like 8 times, though? I think it was eight times.
Yeah, 8 sacks, yeah.
But do you know he's the only rookie since 1950 with back-to-back 30-plus completion games and no interceptions in those games? I mean, that's talent. He is seriously talented. They're going to get him broken. And their backup is who? Yeah. Ryan Finley?
Okay, so I think you're right. I think if they carry on down this road, yes, he will get broken. But on the flip side, they've got the weapons already. So now, you know, in terms of kind of their focus on the draft and their focus on free agency, they just need to build that offensive line because the defense is playing relatively well as well. So you don't have to... Yeah, you know, adding a few parts there would obviously help. Some of the players are slightly on the, you know, slightly longer tooth, but you've got a quarterback who is good. The play schemes seem to be working. So yeah, Zach Taylor had a terrible first year, and he's not won a game so far this year. But unlike Gase and unlike Dan Quinn, I'm not putting him on the hot seat at all.
No,
he's playing well.
Jags this week as well coming up.
Yeah, and that's a win.
You'd like to think so. That Jags defense still got some life in it, but you'd like to think that's the Bengals' best chance. Okay, another team that might be the most disappointing team in football, the Vikings. They're 0-3. They can't buy a win, and they look poorly run. I'm not sure that Mike Zimmer is getting much out of this team. You know, he looks frustrated. There was a clip of him taking off his headset, and he went to throw it down, and then realized that the cameras would be on him, and he stopped himself. But I almost wanted to see him do it. Just show some passion, bin the thing off. They just look devoid of everything. It's not good at all.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you.
Davin Cook looked good.
I had high hopes for this Viking team.
And Jefferson looked good as well.
Yeah.
So was it 170 yards for...
175.
175 receiving yards, great play. Dalvin Cook, I believe that was his most yards from scrimmage, wasn't it? 181 rushing yards and 18 receiving yards. Really good. How do you lose a game with those sorts of stats? Put up 25 fantasy points.
Yeah, there's that. You also let Derek Henry run over you for 119 yards and two touchdowns.
That all happened at the end of the game. That defense, basically, they threw some interceptions at the wrong time. You know what turnovers are like. You know, it depends. Sometimes timing is everything. And they threw interceptions at the wrong time. And their defense tired. And then Derek Henry ran all over him because he didn't do hardly anything until the last 10, 15 minutes.
That's correct. And Khalif Raymond had 3 receptions for 118 yards. So, you know, there's the Vikings' backfield wasn't great last year. They drafted Jeff Gladney in the first round and they got rid of a few players. Well, Harrison Smith had a really good game. He made a few really important tackles and a few really important stops. But apart from that, it's easy to pass against the Vikings' defense at the moment.
I thought the Vikings' last play really summed up how disorganised they looked, though. So from the kickoff, they had a 15-yard penalty, an incomplete pass, a run for no gain, an incomplete pass, and an interception. And all they needed was to get down the field and get like a first down. They just needed to get down the field and do something. And they just couldn't do anything. The interception was terrible. Kirk Cousins was criticising the play call. And the play call was saying, we don't know what he was doing. It's just, it's just badly run. And again, they're talented. It's a talented team. You shouldn't be 0-3 having faced the schedule they've faced. It's just, it's not good enough. You know, fine, hold the Titans to, I think three of the field goals were over 50 yards. But you still have to do something on offense. Like, if your defense is only just good enough, you've still got to put up points. You've still got to not, like Gary said, turn the ball over twice. Cousins is not protecting the ball at all this year. At all.
No, he's not. He's not been good. He's not been. He needs to be the Kirk Cousins of last year, who quietly went around getting things done out of the limelight. This year, it's just been, it's been woeful.
Horrible to watch. It's not. The Titans are 10-0 when Derrick Henry has 25 carries in a game. No, that's.
They just need to feed him the ball at the start of the game. He just wasn't in the action much at all. So
he's an absolute beast. Like we were saying, when, you know, if you're a defensive player and he's running at you, just what do you do? The man is a monster.
Run the other way.
Yeah. Just shit your pants. Hope that puts him off.
Yeah, fair play. Right. There's another golden oldie out there trying to win it all again. Brady and the Bucks cruise past the rudderless Broncos 28-10. Are the Bucks now the best team in the NFC South after their week one defeat to the Saints? Because it's not the Panthers and it ain't the Falcons. So,
no,
I still say it's the Saints.
Saints are still the best team overall.
You think so? Because I reckon if they played next week, I think the Bucks would beat them handily.
Yeah, I agree with you, Griff.
The Bucks do have some great.
Was unfortunate timing.
They've got great wide receivers, haven't they? The Bucks.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, absolutely.
And their defense is better than it gets credit for, but the running game of the Saints, and I still think the Saints' defense is better than the Bucks. So I think they're quite evenly matched now. But I would just give it to the Saints.
Yeah. Let's judge the Bucks when they've played someone better than a quite disgustingly awful Broncos team.
Now that is true. We need to come to this. So Gary's favorite, Blake Bortles, is going to be back, and I think he's starting this week. They haven't named him yet.
Well, they're saying not, because it's a Thursday night game. I don't think there's enough time.
Okay, fine, Thursday night game. But I'm telling you, Jeff Driscoll or Brett Ripon are not playing the whole game. So you're going to see some Bortles action. And that, what did you name this game, Russell? Is this their first official toilet bowl of the year? Is it Broncos-Jets or something?
It's Broncos-Jets. Broncos-Jets on Thursday.
How did that ever get Thursday night slating?
Don't know, but the thing is, I probably will work late and watch it, and I don't know who I'd much rather see win. I think I'd rather see the Broncos win, just so I can keep moaning about Adam Gase, but not if Bortles is on the centre.
Well, who was it this week? It was like Jags-Miami, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jags-Miami was
so, are they just giving up on Thursday night football this year? Yeah. We haven't got to worry about getting the fans in, so let's just put whatever shit we can on.
It's only on Amazon.
Terrible. You know, the Buccaneers defeated the Broncos for the first time since 1999. I thought that was an interesting one. You don't normally get that sort of length of time between teams losers.
They only play each other like once every 4 years. So.
Brady looks in rhythm now with the offense, right? Which he didn't look in week one, which is hardly surprising, but he looks in rhythm. As long as they can keep spreading the ball around and Fournette can hammer in from however many yards out they get, this team's going to be really good, right? Like, he doesn't have to do more.
In week one, Evans was injured as well, wasn't he? He wasn't. So that helps, because that frees up Godwin. It just, the whole team is just better than.
Mike Evans didn't exactly have a brilliant game on Sunday. He got two receptions for 2 yards.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are other players in there. So, Scotty Miller, 3 receptions for 83 yards. We know that Tom Brady loves a wide receiver. Chris Godwin, though, became the 80th player to catch a touchdown pass from Tom Brady.
Which is absolutely insane when you think about it.
Yeah.
But, he seems to have this good connection with this Scott Miller. That's quite a thing, sort of. The unknown receiver.
You say it's insane, but he's been in the league for about 20 years. It's only 4 people a season.
That's very true. It's 4 different people every season. Gronk, though, right. Finally got some receptions, 6 receptions, 48 yards. It felt very much like they were making the effort to force the ball to Gronk to downplay this theory that he's just there to be a blocker.
Who cares if he is?
No, he's a good blocker.
I presume he's still a good blocker. I'm not seeing much of
the running game. I don't suppose he sells very many shirts if he's just there blocking.
I don't know. I think a Gronk shirt does. Just, you know, I'm trying to avoid watching much of Brady. I'm done with the whole Brady story. So, you know, I don't really want to hear it. I don't really want to see it. You know, I hope he just misses out on the playoffs. And, like, I just, like, that's just me being honest.
We'll move on from this matchup then, but I will advise you to go and look up a picture of Jeff Driscoll and don't laugh. That's all I'm going to say. He looks exactly how you would expect a Jeff Driscoll to look. The Panthers broke their losing streak, which was the longest in the NFL, beating the Chargers 21-16 in LA. First win for Matt Rhule, but the Chargers need to stick with Herbert, right? There's no way back in for Tyrod, surely.
Well, I think there might be, because I think, you know, the fact that he's been, you know, assaulted by a member of the medical team and then he loses his job for that, I think there might be a bit of problem there.
I think there could be some legal ramifications to that as well.
Yeah, I think there could be an issue. I think Tyrod will come back in for a couple of games at least.
I didn't realise that there was legal ramifications.
Well, you know, if he's been injured, even if it's accidental, and he's lost his livelihood because of that injury,
he's still getting.
I wouldn't want to be that team.
He's getting paid until he gets cut.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I just wonder how they'll react with it, because, you know, if somebody stabbed me, you know, and punctured my lung, you know, whilst I was under their care, and then I lost my job because of that, I probably wouldn't be very happy. That's just me.
But if they told you you could get several million pounds to stay at home for the year, you'd probably take the one stabbing, wouldn't you?
Well, it depends if I've already got 30 million from, you know, going through the last four teams.
Well, exactly, and he has. So I'd take the stabbing and I'd go home and I'd be very happy. What I'm getting at is Justin Herbert looks really quite good, and it would interrupt his development now, surely, to take him out again.
I think you can mix and match the two.
Yeah.
And
30 yards, and though, he's doing well. He's had 300 yards in each game.
He's doing right. I don't think it hurts him to take him out now. I think you can bring him out and put him back in when, you know, as you see fit. You know, it's not like you're putting in Ryan Finley, Jeff Driscoll or Matt Sharp. Tyrod is fine. You know, legal ramifications or not, you can put him in and you'd sort of know what you're going to get with Tyrod. So it's fine.
I don't agree. I think you need to leave Herbert in there now, but fair enough. Anthony Lynn, though, is he actually any good? Do we know that he's any good?
He's gotten to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I mean, he seemed like a really, really good guy, didn't he, on TV?
He could be a wonderful man, I'm saying, as a coach. Is he that good? Is he able to force this Chargers team to be a consistent playoff contender?
I don't think you put him in the bracket of, you know, offensive or defensive genius like we do other coaches, Belichick, Shanahan, McVay, Andy Reid. We've kind of all mentioned a lot of those over the last kind of few minutes. But I think he's a solid enough coach. And I think he's got the ability, he's got the team to kind of be able to push for the playoffs. I mean, they were pretty close last year. Special teams probably let them down. I think if they had a better kicker, they probably would have got to the playoffs. So I think for what he's having to work with, I think he's good enough.
I think he's got good. I think he's a good leader. He's got good leadership skills from what comes across. And you don't need to be, you know, calling every play, do you? You know, he was a running back, wasn't he, in his career?
Yeah.
And that's what he specialises in coaching. You know, I think he's a perfectly adequate coach. You know, we talk about this a number of times, and I'm always one of these. We talk about sacking coaches all the time, but for who? Like, who are you going to go and get? Like,
I'm certainly not advocating sacking him. I merely
you love sacking coaches. It's usually like a hobby to you. Like, yeah. I'll sack Sean Payton, sack Jim Harbour.
Have you seen progress at the Chargers under Anthony Lynn? Or are they still the same?
Because Rivers isn't there. That's progress, isn't it?
I don't know. They're 1-2. Is it progress? I'm not saying it's not. I'm just asking, have you seen any progress in three seasons under Anthony Lynn?
Yes.
Two and a bit seasons. Yes.
Well, it's not.
You've got to say yes. They've got Joey Bosa.
I mean, they're fine. They're fine. They are a team that you sort of expect to get a winning record and challenge for the playoffs. Unless you happen to suck for a year and you can go out and get a first round, you know, a first round super talent, you are generally stuck with what you've got, and that is what they are. You know, it's the parity of the league. Although they make some huge plays in free agency, but that rarely ever works. The Chargers are a middling team, and they are being coached, and they are meeting their objectives.
Fair enough. What do you think his win loss record is?
I would say he's probably only just.
I was going to say, he must be around the 500 mark.
Yeah, around that.
He's 27 and 25. He's just crept over the 500. And that's fine. Just saying, I think he needs to do something with Justin Herbert. That's why I don't think he can go backwards. I think he needs to show, I am the guy, this is the way forward.
But that might not be a winning record. It's a new way of playing, which, to be fair, he probably didn't plan to do in week two because he had a starting quarterback with a punctured lung. So, you know,
that
his hand
be a problem.
Has been.
If they weren't planning to play with Herbert, that would be a problem. You should always have a plan for your new draft pick.
But yeah, they're doing fine.
Okay, fine. Right, from the Bucks where Brady is now to Cam at the Patriots. The Patriots back on track with a 20-36 win at Gillette over the Raiders, basically thanks to a cameo game by Sexy Rexy Burkhead and a couple of drive-killing idiot plays by the Raiders. Are the Patriots better than we thought pre-season, or are they pretty much where you thought, or are they just an average team? What do you reckon? Because I reckon they're better than we thought.
I think a few of us said that they, you know, if Cam performed, they would be okay. They're a very well coached team, aren't they? And I think the defense is better than we thought. I think that's the thing. So I think Cam is being slightly better than we thought. I think he's probably adapted to the system quicker than we thought. But and I would definitely say the defense, with kind of seven or eight players missing, is certainly far better than we thought. But again, it comes back to the point that every player that gets to or on the verge of the NFL squad is a good player. And it shows the amount that coaching does, you know, that percentage difference you get out of a player, how much comes down to coaching, play calling, scheming, you know. And we all know that Bill Belichick's one of the best schemers out there.
Yeah, they've also got a decent offensive coordinator in, what's his name?
Josh McDaniels.
Thank you. Sorry, getting late. I think they've completely changed the way that they play now. They're a much more running team. They lead the league in rushing touchdowns with seven, which I don't think you'd ever expect to say about the Patriots when Brady was there. I think Newton's been better than what we thought. I truly believe we're seeing the second coming of Cam Newton. I think he's going to continue to get better. I think if he carries on working with McDaniels and maybe some of the receivers get a little bit more, there's a bit more quality there. God, it kills me to say this, but yeah, I think the Patriots are right back where they perhaps once were. Bastards.
Here's a stat that popped up for me. Since the year 2000, New England have had 54 games where an individual has had 100 rushing yards. What is their win-loss record in the 54 games?
50-4.
Yeah, something like that.
53-1.
Yeah.
That's an insanely good defense that puts that up to hold that number. That's incredible through that length of time. But you know, I just that popped into my feed, and I thought it was pretty impressive. Sony Michel was something that popped up.
I'd love to know how many podcasts Griff's managed to find some outrageous stat about the Patriots just to prove how great they've been over the last 20 years. I'm going to go, John, how many podcasts have we done? I'm going to go with at least like...
about 120.
Oh, okay, I'm going to go for 112-8 or something.
It's not a difficult thing to research, though, is it? Sony Michel, 9 carries, 117 yards. That's the fewest carries for 100-plus yards by a Patriot ever. And that was needed because they were talking about him being like traded away if he didn't start pulling his weight. And that's difficult in a team where the majority of the carries now going through the quarterback. But they managed to do it again the other day. This whole game worked around the running of the team. The receiving yards were... Well, Burkhead was the lead receiver as well. So they haven't got a downfield threat, which is back to my point about Beckham earlier. That is the key thing that's missing.
Yeah.
There's no field-stretching player. And we know Cam isn't accurate, but he can boom the ball down the field like he used to Funchess and the others.
Well, it was a bit disappointing seeing Kill Harry drop off the targets. I know he was questionable coming in, wasn't he? But the week before, he was he led in targets with 11, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I think this week he got like 2 or 3.
Four targets, 2 receptions. Yeah.
So we need. I think you need to get him more involved on a consistent basis because I think he is a threat. And he is in my dynasty fantasy team, so that would be helpful.
He has provided, him and Cam have provided the best meme of the season so far, with Cam sliding to avoid talking to Enkiel Harry, which is just wonderful. I'd love to know what he said to him, but yeah. Other than that, you know, it's just one of those games. I think the Raiders had your air attack pretty much covered, but you just ran over them.
Well, yeah. the Raiders' first 5 possessions were quite funny because it was punt, fumble, field goal, fumble, punt. Like, that's pretty bad. Then they scored a touchdown, then they missed a field goal, then they punted. And it's like, yeah, guys, you can't do that against a team that's got Bill Belichick in charge. You've got to maximise your return from the possessions you get, and that's what let John Gruden's team down. I'm not sure Gruden is really worth the money still, I must confess.
Don't know. It's still
quite clearly not worth the money. He's an idiot.
I knew somebody who would bite. Right, finally, last Thursday night's game. This is the last one. Miami went to Jacksonville and they dominated, basically, in the battle of the beards or facial hair. 30-13, Fitzmagic basically showing the young pretender how you play in the league for a decade. What more can Miami do with the team they've got than blow out teams like this and hope for the odd good result elsewhere?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, they're playing fine. You know, they're waiting for their star quarterback to be ready. They're not going to rush him. I think it's sensible. They'll spend another off-season building around him. And then next year, I think we'll see, you know, the proper emergence of what could be a good Dolphins team. I think they're playing fine. If I was a Dolphins fan, I think you've got to be patient with this team. Like I said, they've got the building blocks in place. I think they could come good if they carry on with where they left off. I also think Jacksonville are probably playing above kind of what we thought they would this season as well. Minshew, we talk a lot about, but you know, James Robinson, who has come out of nowhere, literally undrafted free agent to
incredible.
Their leading kind of running back. I think they've got some of their receivers are playing pretty well. Keenan Cole and Laviska Shenault Jr. are looking really good. So again, I think Jacksonville strangely kind of actually playing above everyone's expectations.
Yeah. I don't mean that's that hard when the expectations were literally nothing.
Yeah.
But even, no cap space, get rid of all your best players. And like, it's hardly surprising. We all think that you're going to be terrible. So, you know, the fact that you then lose to Miami by 17 points and we say they're playing above where we thought they would, you know.
Fair point. It's a fair point, well made. Would anyone like to tell me the Dolphins have the record for the longest active streak of sacks allowed How many games have they allowed a sack?
74.
No, nowhere near.
38.
No, it's 29 actually, but still, that's nearly two seasons consecutively of allowing a sack in every game. That's pretty bad.
You wonder why Tua's on behind them. You wonder why Tua's on the bench.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so that is the roundup of all of last week's games. We need to touch very briefly on the fact the Titans and the Vikings have shut their facilities and are conducting everything via Zoom or Skype or whatever their media of choice is, because 8 Titans players have tested positive for COVID.
Sorry, it's 3 Titans players and 5 staff.
Oh, sorry, 3 Titans players and 5 staff. There's a very real chance that their game gets called off if they are not able to prove that they have enough squad players that can safely play. This is what's happened in baseball. And once it started happening, it happened across the board. Every week there were games called off. What do they do? Do they not go, or do they have to carry on? What do you think?
It's the point we're making, I think they have to just not go. Like, I think we were before the season started, I think we were all probably thinking that this isn't going to be a full season. Like, there are going to be some games which are missed. I don't think you can risk spreading it around. Like, this disease spreads like wildfire. Like, you can't risk taking out more teams than you potentially already have. So, you know, there's Vikings are affected. The Titans are obviously affected. What's the point in risking taking out the Steelers, who, you know, are 3-0, and we'd probably love to play this game because they want to carry on that winning streak. But if suddenly 4 Steelers go down and they're 4 important Steelers, that could ruin their season. So I don't see how you can play the game on Sunday if this is a worst case scenario.
Well, the NFL have just announced at the moment they are planning to play as previously scheduled.
That does not surprise me.
They released that in the last half an hour. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me either, because they've so staunchly stuck to this idea that we're going for a full season. But whether it's the wise thing to do, I don't know. While I'm doing news updates as well, the Texans have called off the workout with Earl Thomas. Not going ahead. He's getting a bad rep in the league.
I'm going to say 2 words to you from your earlier statement, Michael. Fake news.
Fake news.
It's because of COVID, though. The league have told them to review procedures. So it's not just because he's a dick, even though he is a dick.
He's not in a bubble. And also, Brett Ripon just been announced as the starter for the Broncos with Jeff Driscoll and Blake Bortles on the bench. So you're going to be seeing some Bortles time. That could be the worst 3 quarterbacks to all play in a game ever.
That is brilliant.
Right, has anybody got anything else they'd like to add?
Just that Brett Ripon is the nephew of a Super Bowl winning
Mark
Ripon of the Washington Redskins. So, you know, he's got a bit of pedigree.
Oh yeah, that definitely counts for everything.
That counts.
Or not.
That's literally all I've got on him.
Yeah, okay. We'll ignore that and move on. Thank you very much for listening. If you're still listening, it's quite late here. We will be back next week to review those games. And I am looking forward to some of these teams being on byes, because it's a long trek when you have to do 16 games.
And are we doing it is week 4, so I know, like, me and John bothered to do them at the start of the season and nobody else did. Yeah. But surely we should do them after 4 weeks.
It is power rankings next week, absolutely. So get working on those. Decide which order you want to put the New York teams at the bottom and work from there, basically. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.